This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Football Monday, playoff season style. Mike Chauvin, the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio joins us on the West Her Hotline. We've got all the emotions and sentimental aspect of yesterday to hit again. Also, the news of the day, and then, of course, the matchup with Jacksonville. Starting in the middle, Sal, because it's pretty fresh, you got the update from Sean McDermott on a couple of injured players today.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We just did. Matt Prater is day-to-day. The team is going to work out kickers this week, bring them in tomorrow, I believe, on their, you know, quote-unquote day off. They don't practice tomorrow. And they'll have a plan B to see, you know, how the week goes with Matt Prater. And if he can kick on Sunday, he will. If he can't, they'll have another option available. So my guess is they would sign somebody to the practice squad and elevate, or just have him on the ready, and you can sign him to the 53, I guess. You can do it in that sense, you know, but either way, they'll have a plan for that. But the good news is that Prater at least has a chance to play on Sunday. Not so much Max Harrison. He is, in fact, at the end of the press conference, Sean McDermott said he'd be considered a little more week to week, but they still want to, you know, see how the week goes and do more testing on that. But he's certainly, he's not going to be able to play on Sunday. We know that.
And that is believed to be an ankle sprain, or has it been specified what that is?
I don't believe we have sprain necessarily but it is an ankle injury, yes.
Okay.
On Prater first, Sal, I mean, not knowing the exact details of this injury and what, you know, he's saying about how he feels, but I think it's a huge risk to not go into this game with someone else. This is a recurrence of an injury, probably, and I'll take the next Michael Badgley off the pile over Prater at 41 with the greater possibility, it would seem, of losing my kicker during a game, like yesterday.
Yeah, I hear you. They'd have to really be certain, I think, that he can last a game and be able to, you know, kick effectively enough. So I totally understand that position. Yesterday was, if that was a playoff game, I mean, that's a really not ideal situation you're in. You can't kick an extra point. You had to go for two. You had to go for every fourth down, which doesn't have to be a bad thing a lot of times, right?
Yeah.
But it wouldn't put them in a very good position, obviously. But the Badgley experiment, or whatever you want to call it, a couple of weeks ago just did not go well for them. So, you know, it's kind of really a tough situation to be in either way.
I wondered yesterday, I don't know, Mike might have brought this up on postgame, or it might have just come up, I don't know, that Prater, I wonder if it had been a playoff game, if he could have kept kicking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he maybe he felt something and went to them and said, like, you know, this game's in hand and it doesn't matter really that much at all. And, you know, I tweaked this, like, let's shut her down. So there is that. Like, I wonder if he could have gutted it out to some extent. I mean, obviously that'd be, you know, taking some risk with distance probably. So I don't know. I'm more inclined to end up where Mike is, which is like, I'm going to be pretty nervous about this. I'll bet they'll be pretty nervous, whatever they choose. Because if this just sort of, it really depends how much they know about how out of nowhere yesterday came, if at all. Like if he did a normal workload in practice last week and then suddenly it cropped up in the game, you know, maybe they have something to be nervous about. I don't know. It's just hard to say without knowing everything. But
yeah, I wonder too. I mean, we didn't even know he was injured until he didn't kick in the second half. So Mitch Wishnowski comes out to, you know, have the second half kickoff. And we're like, wait a minute, why is Mitch Wishnowski kicking off? And, you know, I inquired in the sidelines what was going on, and then we got word that, you know, Matt Prater was injured and he wasn't going to be able to return in the game. So I wonder as well, like, was it something where, okay, because it wasn't like this sudden injury where he's in the tent and we're reporting on it, right? So, like, it was, okay, like, did something happen where he's like, eh, I kind of felt something, and let's be on the safer side, not sorry side. So we'll see how the week goes. But it's the big thing for me is, like, yes, everything we just talked about is right. And then on the other side of the field this week, you have a guy that's just kicking record field goals every week, it seems like. Right? I mean, Cam Little, man, this is a game where the two kickers are going to matter probably at some point. So I think it's a pretty big deal.
Cam Big. Yep, interesting contrast with Cam Big. The Bills versus Cam Big.
How about Hairston, Sal? Like, did how much criticism, if any, do the Bills deserve for the choice that ended with Hairston being? I know game day, like, they only had what they had, and he was the next guy. Like, he's the last guy, I think, right? Everybody else, the kids were all playing, right? The new guy was at safety with Hancock, and you've got Cam Lewis playing in Taron Johnson's spot. No Benford, no Tre'Davious White. I think Hancock even played some corner, maybe a series or two. Anyway, just that Hairston had to be out there in the first place. Like, what could they have done to prevent that, if anything?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, everybody's wondering the same thing, and I think it's a lot easier said than done. I mean, right. I just got someone who tweeted me a little while ago and said, well, how about play Lewis or Hancock or Franklin? And I'm looking back right now, literally, while I was going on this, they were all on the field at the same time already,
right.
I think Franklin even was. I'm going back because Savage got hurt the play before that. I mean, Darnell Savage was already in the game playing. Mm-hmm. Jordan Hancock was already in the game playing. Cam Lewis was already in the game playing. I don't know. So, yes, you could. And Sean McDermott was actually specifically asked today at his press conference, what about just putting a guy out there that's not even really a corner? And he said, yeah, I mean, we think about those things. I you know, it's so tough. You can't protect everybody. You have to make decisions. The biggest thing that really hurt them here is they did not have an elevation left for Dane Jackson.
Yeah.
That would have been the ideal situation. Now, they could have elevated to Corey Couch, but they decided not to do that. Because why? Because you had to have a linebacker elevated if you wanted to sit Shaq Thompson and Matt Milano, which obviously is smart. Is there room for criticism? Sure, I don't discount that. And I think that fans have brought it up. I just think it's a lot easier said than done when you're talking about how the number of players on the roster. How many times last week did I go on the radio all week and say, you have to play guys? Like, there's only 48 right. guys who dress. And Max Hairston is an important player. He's also a rookie. Like, I know this sounds weird, but he hasn't, like, kind of earned that opportunity to start sitting yet. Even Tre'Davious White was playing every single snap. Why? Because you needed Christian Benford to sit. They had three boundary corners. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, to me, if you wanted to say something about it, you could say, like, well, why did they only go into the game with three boundary corners? But Jordan Hancock played on the boundary after this happened. Look, and I'll say this. When you put a guy in a position he's not normally used to playing, that's when another injury can happen. Because he's not used to the angles and where things are coming from and blocking and all of that. This is just a freak accident that happened to Max Hairston. It's a football game. It happens. So, yeah, I mean, those guys who everybody keeps bringing up, why wasn't this guy playing or that guy playing? They already were playing.
Right.
Well, fair enough. I wonder if part of the calculus was that it was the Jets. And maybe we can get away with it in the secondary as opposed to another position group. I mean, the Jets had 9 first downs. It wasn't like the secondary was being pressed
taxed,
at all
right.
in this game. I mean, just an absolute disaster of a team, by the way, the Jets. Just like, yeah. I don't know.
Was that the look, we've all been through some tough years and some tough finales. I don't know that I've ever seen an NFL team more embarrass themselves than the Jets did yesterday.
I mean, they're really bad. And when people ask me, would it be, I think Joe asked me this morning on the morning show, would it be crazy for them to, you know, keep Aaron Glenn? I say, well, no, it wouldn't be crazy to keep him. I don't even think it'd be crazy to move on. Like, you could make an argument for both. But I would say this is how bad they are. Like, if you move on from Aaron Glenn and you bring in the most experienced, best coach you could find, does anything really change? I'm not sure, because they're bad, right? Like, I don't know what else he's supposed to do. Yeah, that was tough to watch from that standpoint. They had 9 yards in the first half. And the crazy part is, like it's
less.
The Jets. What's that?
It felt like less.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, in the first quarter. I said first half. I meant first quarter. But, you know, they had 2.7 yards per play. I looked it up. That's the fourth. It's the 2.65, I believe it was. That's the fourth lowest yards per play of any team in any game this year in the NFL. And I know that, like, I'm writing arrow down. I'm like, oh, look at the job they did against the Jets. Run defense, pass defense. And in my head, I'm like, people are going to read this and go, yeah, but it's the Jets. And I'm like, Yeah, but the Bills played all their backups. Like, this was not a regular NFL team the Bills were fielding, like, all these starters. The Bills played all backups on the offensive line except for Osiris Torrance pretty much all game. And, guys, they played the starting defense. 9 out of 11 regular starters did not play in this game. Didn't play.
With Sal Capaccio.
Real quick on the Jets, I don't know if you've seen this. It's made the rounds in the last, you know, I don't know, 24 hours or so. Garrett Wilson ended the season as their leading receiver with 395 yards. He played 7 games.
It's like the lowest leading total for a team ever, maybe.
That is just
in a long time.
That is stark.
There's a lot of this. I mean, they didn't have an interception all year. How is that possible?
It's amazing. You're right. I was listening earlier. Like, how do you not? It's like, how do the Sabres not make the playoffs in 14 years in the NHL where everybody makes the playoffs, right? Like, somehow you luck into it.
Right.
You luck into a game. The ball hit a guy in the hands yesterday, and he dropped it for an interception. There was a ball batted in the air. You're like, oh, no, they didn't come down with it. Yeah, you're right. How does that not happen? You have a head coach who's known for being a guy who would take the ball away, Aaron Glenn, an aggressive corner. You know, and they went a whole season without taking the ball away once through the air, which is absolutely incredible. I agree with that.
4 takeaways on the year. I mean, I don't know. There's no words for that. 4 takeaways on the year. It's amazing.
Right. What you're saying here, Sal, we can move on here real quick, is if they fire Aaron Glenn, how desirable is that job? It's New York City, but it looks like dysfunction central there. Like, maybe the owner's listening to his kids, and, like, who knows? Mm-hmm. Like, they might not be able to get out of their own way for a good long while yet.
Right. Now, I always believe that pretty much any head coaching job is desirable by somebody who wants to be a head coach, right? If you want to be a head coach and one comes open, like, oh my God, yeah, I'll be the guy and this is my chance. I want to go do it. But you're right. If somebody like knows that they might have other jobs down the line, they may look at that one and go, man, I'm not sure. Like, what am I walking into here? That's number one. But number two is, even if you found somebody who's very good, very highly respected, and everybody goes, okay, you know what? We're going to hire this guy. What are they like next year anyway? I don't think this is a Ben Johnson situation where he's already got Caleb Williams who, you know, is come on, let's just get this kid a little bit of help and a little bit of coaching, and we're going to be good here. And then, of course, they went out and they drafted and they signed some guys, and that went pretty well for them. But I just don't think they're going to be very good regardless because of the talent. By the way, the Jets this year, I'm looking now, let me see, on offense, I think it was 31 touchdowns they allowed and no interceptions. Like, imagine if a quarterback, just any quarterback, went 17 games in the NFL and threw 31 touchdowns against 0 interceptions. That was the Jets' opponents' quarterbacks.
Yeah, 36 even. Yeah,
36. There you go. Thank you.
36 and 0.
That's a pretty good year.
It wasn't like teams didn't need to throw on them in all cases, in all situations. There was some of that. Incredible. All right, well, enough about the Jets. So it's Jacksonville now. Bulldogs calling this the hardest matchup the Bills could have drawn. Do you agree?
A tough call. No. I do not think. I think there was a chance Houston could have won if Jacksonville loses.
Houston is a caveat here. I was challenged on this earlier, and I would agree. I just didn't think it was very likely that was going to happen.
Right.
Like, focusing on New England, Denver, or Jacksonville, I chose Jacksonville.
But. Yeah, that might be right. I mean, you're discounting Baltimore, too, in that equation. I think Baltimore would have been tough for the Bills, right? And obviously they're out of it now. But be it as it may, out of those three teams, I think it's tough. They all have pluses and minuses. I go back and forth on Jacksonville a little bit because they're playing really well. They have won 8 games in a row. Now, people will point to, look at the teams they beat. And I think somewhat that is correct, but, you know, it's the NFL and you have to go out there and play. And let's not forget, they went out there and they put one on the Chargers, really good defense, 35 points back in November. And then they also put up 34 points against a very good Broncos defense not too long ago. This team is playing really well in offense. Trevor Lawrence is playing really well. They have a offensive head coach who's doing a really good job right now coaching them and scheming them. They have changed a lot since Jakobi Meyers. By the way, interesting, Sean McDermott brought up Jakobi Meyers specifically today to say, like, you know, he's changed them. He's a big fan of him. And I just thought it was interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, to bring that up, kind of unprompted when talking about the Jaguars, but he said, you know, if going against him, he's a lot of respect for his game, not only in the passing game, but in the blocking game. And I will tell you guys, like, he's changed their equation there because he's kind of moved everybody around a little bit to fit in better roles. I think the Jags were leading the league in drop passes before they acquired him. They're not anymore. They're actually in a really good spot where they're doing a nice job to get it to who they need to get it to, in the spots they need to. Their defense is very, very good. It's very good against the run. We know that. One thing that's pointed out to me, they have played a lot of inexperienced quarterbacks, either first year or rookie quarterbacks over this 8-game winning streak. And that's fine. That's fair to point out. But I think you have to give a lot of respect to not only their run defense, they're also very aggressive in their pass defense. They have a very high interception rate. They take the ball away. But one thing they don't do really, really well that has given the Bills fits this year, they don't sack the quarterback a lot. They're one of the like lowest teams in the league as far as sacks per pass attempt. And I think that's something that, you know, the Bills can hopefully try to take advantage of. The other thing is tight ends have hurt them this year. Guys, I'm telling you right now, I think that Dalton Kincaid is the biggest X factor in this game for the Bills for me. When I start looking at the matchup as the week starts, if Dalton Kincaid can be any semblance of even what he showed yesterday against the Jets with Mitch Trubisky playing, I just think that needs to really, really happen on Sunday.
22 interceptions for the Jaguars this season. None
for the Jets.
For the Jets.
22. Unbelievable.
22 interceptions for Jacksonville. Their biggest might have been the 99-yarder against Mahomes in a Week 5 win. That's their only night game, Sal. So this team has not had a lot of...
standalone.
Yes.
Well, the Bills are 8-1 in Sunday 1 o'clock games this year. The bad news is the one loss came in the state of Florida. It was against the Miami Dolphins, right? But they are 8-1 in Sunday 1 o'clock games. It's routine. I think that schedule sets up nicely for the Bills like that. It's going to be a lot of Bills fans down there. And with a Sunday game, people can get down there on Saturday. So I think that helps as far as the environment is concerned for Bills fans. I remember what it was like in 17. There were a lot of Bills fans down there for sure. You know, the Bills have not a great history going down to Jacksonville. Now, Matt Bove and I debated on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo today. We recorded a podcast and... Actually, you know, it was a good discussion. I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but I don't personally think that matters at all. Like, I think history is history. It doesn't have what happened in 21 has nothing to do with the game this week. I went through and looked. I mean, the Bills were starting Star Lotulelei and Jerry Hughes on defense in that game. They were starting Ike Butker on offense in that game. I don't think it has anything to do with this game. The Bills actually beat the pants off the Jaguars last year in Buffalo. I know it wasn't in Jacksonville, but I don't think that history matters in any regard.
Yeah, until I hear something about, like, Josh Allen doesn't like the sight lines or something.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, is there a bad hitter's background or something? Like, right, the fence is too far back for my offense. Like, none of that. I'm sorry, it's all baseball stuff. I just don't know how that translates to football. I mean, there are, I know Marty Baron has talked about, like, there's rinks, and my kid will tell you, too, there's just rinks you don't feel good in. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, we only get a pretty small sample size here. So until I have something like that, I'm inclined to just disregard it. And just, you know, it was the matchup that day, and that's that. I don't think I have a Jacksonville problem.
Oh, you might in a week.
Going back a couple years ago to London, right? I mean, that was the game where Daquan Jones gets hurt, and on like the next play or the same play, it was Matt Milano breaks his leg, right? I mean, like just a lot of things happened in that game, and the Bills didn't play well. I'm not excusing it. Of course they didn't. I don't think it has to do anything with what's going on this week, though. And I think one of the things the Bills have done very well in this era of Sean McDermott and this regime is they've compartmentalized every week. They've been consistent. Sure, they've had weeks where they have not played well. There's no doubt. But they've always just kind of kept the next game in front of them and, you know, done what they need to do to get to the next week. And as they say, go 1-0. And I know it's coach speak, but I think the Bills do a good job of that.
Titanic clash between the AFC South winner and then the Bills as the road team landed this game Sunday at 1. You know, right? I mean, the power of the Bills and the primetime history, but, you know, that Saturday 4:30 slot. We had Carolina to fall back on this year as a you know, an elite Saturday afternoon wild card host. 81 and sunny early forecast for Saturday, 63 and sunny for Sunday.
And I think in the 50s on Monday, there's a cold front coming in through on Sunday. So, you know, I mean, sounds like good football weather, 68 degrees and maybe a slight breeze. I mean, you know, it's good weather for Bills fans to go down there. And I think for the, you know, players to, you know, let the players decide it. I like that. I like the fact that you can decide the game with clean weather. You know, it's not a game where you're like, well, it's really wet and you could have a ball slip out of here. And then what really happens? So, yeah, I like that.
Got a second favorite matchup coming up on Sunday. What other game? I love Green Bay, Chicago.
Well, that's Saturday, right?
The weekend.
So, well, the ideal situation, and to answer your question, is yes, Chargers-Patriots, because But that only holds if the Bills win. I mean, right. If the Bills lose, we're doing locker cleanout on Monday, right? But if the Bills win, the ideal situation is getting on the charter, getting back home. I am literally getting to my house right about kickoff time, maybe first quarter, putting my feet up and watching Chargers Patriots and going, all right, where are the Bills going next week? Are they going to Denver or are they going to the winner of the Monday night game? Right? I mean, that's the ideal. So that's why I picked that game. So I do think it could be a close game. I think I do give the Chargers a chance in that game. 49ers Eagles, you guys will really anticipate respect this, I think. I said today on the Extra Point Show, like, I close my eyes and I can hear Summerall and Madden doing a 49ers-Eagles playoff game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that is the one that really jumps out to me. Green Bay-Chicago could be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Really good, but I'm still sort of stuck in Chicago, you know, their history more than anything else, which I know is different now. They've been explosive offensively, but mostly I just think, like, Chicago in the cold against Green Bay is going to be 12-10.
Well, plus, they've just played twice, maybe right, in the cold, yeah, in the last right. month. San Francisco, Philadelphia is the answer. I mean, taking away all the other possible, you know, ramifications, that's a great matchup. That's a first-round matchup.
Yeah.
I got to tell you guys, like, as much as, like, of course, you'd love the Bills to be home this weekend, right? I mean, that would be awesome. But one of my favorite things is, like, being on the road on a Sunday game and there's Saturday night football and you go out, and, like, me and, like, Bill Whippert will go out for dinner or whatever and you can watch football and go down to the, you know, hang out in the lobby and go up to the room and watch football. Like, I just love that. I love that. And, like, getting ready for your game the next day and you got football to carry you through and you're with all a bunch of football people. I think that's cool.
Make sure they have Prime wherever you're doing this on Saturday night.
Yes, that's right. If not, I'm watching on my darn phone. I've done that before, too.
It's a good fall. At least you have the fallback. Okay, so no practice tomorrow, so probably no new information. We'll see what they do. I mean, you could get news of kickers being brought in for workouts, though, right? That's
you
something they could do tomorrow.
You should get that at some point during your show tomorrow because that'll be over the transaction wire.
Okay. Is there another obvious name? A hit on Badgley.
Cool.
Young Wei Koo.
He was here.
I have had multiple people ask me today about Rodrigo Blankenship.
I heard that one call you got.
It's the goggles. People remember him because of the goggles.
That's right. He's actually kicking in the United Football League for St. Louis Battlehawks, I believe. I looked it up. Mike, I also heard you reference the caller you heard about Josh Allen streak. It was a very, very interesting call. And yes, it was a caller who calls a lot. It's Billy in Toronto. He calls a lot. He's a big Bills fan. And he just has no respect for the streak whatsoever. You're right. I have no time for that. I think football is way different than any other sport where this is such a violent game. For you to play one game in this league, let alone start 135 straight, I don't care how long you're in there. It's not like he was walking out there in crutches just to keep the streak alive and standing on the sidelines, you know, near the sideline. You know, so yeah, I think it's important to Josh. It shows availability for his team and why that's important to him. So yes, it's not in the grand scheme of things like a touchdown record, a rushing record, anything like that. But man, how many times? I do think it matters that how many times has he played through injury that to me offsets all of that when you talk about, you know, going out there for one snap.
Well, I mean, you'd have to agree with most of that. I didn't get the sense that the guy said no respect for the record.
He said it should be looked into.
I was hearing no respect for extending it this way. I mean, I don't think he was questioning Allen's durability or anything, most of anything that you said, but yeah, he did say that.
And he did at the end. He said, I think it should be looked into.
I'm like, look into what?
The
crutches hypothetical make for an interesting, because you could limp out there and do what he did.
Look into it. Call Congress.
I mean, well, real quick, somebody else emailed me about this today and was defending that and debating. It was really interesting, right? And had the same take and said, yeah, but when you play, you should have the intention of playing or it shouldn't count. And my counter is, well, what if a guy just has never played in a game, he gets elevated from a practice squad, and he gets out there for one snap? What, you shouldn't put it in his bio? He played in a game? Like, come on, what are we doing here? If you start, you start. If you play, you play. I don't care what the circumstance is. That's what it is, and the NFL is very, very violent. And for a guy to go out there at that position to play 135 straight games, I don't think it matters how it happens.
Listen, if Matt Cassel is going to mar Tyrod Taylor's first game as the Bills yes, starting quarterback right. by getting credit for starting that game at quarterback, I'm giving Josh Allen a start for yesterday.
It's just about the one play. It's not about the whole career. But okay. You know, it's...
To be clear, just so I'm going to circle it back to actually being serious... Josh was available to play yesterday, obviously, after missing a couple days of practice. And I do think that him playing one play and getting out is obviously really, really important for his health for another week to get ready for Jacksonville. Because, Mike, you brought up a good point earlier. Quarterback running on them, Mahomes, earlier in the year was a big deal. And this is the time of year where we say that sometimes from Josh.
And running backs do not run on them. So
right.
maybe that'll right. change this week. It's also to the Bills, just last point, to the Bills' credit that they're in positions where they can do this with Allen and his streak. Like, if they needed yesterday's game, he doesn't sit.
Mm-hmm.
He plays right. the whole thing. So, yes, just glad you heard that, actually, earlier, Sal. Thanks for your time today. We'll talk probably on Wednesday next.
Okay, you got it, guys. Thanks.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
You can't go out there with the crutches, but they could carry you out in and out if need be, right? You're in the shotgun. You're able to stand up, take the snap, hand it off, and somebody, like you're a tee.
Yeah.
In the days where a kid would run on the field to grab the tee. They run back out. They carry Allen back off the field. Like, streak is extended.
Yeah. Or what about even in a boot? With all that boot talk a few weeks ago, you can hobble out there
probably,
in a boot.
There's probably limitations to that. What you're allowed to wear. I mean, you have to put a uniform on.
Right,
I
you
think.
Probably couldn't be wheeled out there in a wheelchair.
No, maybe if you had the proper shoes. I don't know that one. Hmm. Okay, fun to talk about. Maybe. 803-0550 is our number. Bills and Jaguars Sunday at 1. This is Football Monday on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.